Good morning. Very inspirational song service this morning. We're very glad to have you with us here at Del Rata. It's a beautiful Lord's Day, and we're encouraged by everyone who is here today, especially those who are our guests. We love visitors here at this congregation. It's our sincere desire to make you feel welcome and at home. And I hope that you'll want to come back and worship with us anytime that you can. I do want to say that I think this is Jameson and Larissa's last Sunday to be with us, Tyler and little Molly, and we're certainly going to miss them. And I hope that you'll tell them how much they mean to us. And we certainly appreciate all they've meant to the church here. And we wish them well as they move over to Georgia to be closer to their family. And we're certainly going to miss them. Also, Roy and Doris Kaiser reached a milestone this past Thursday. They were married 63 years. And, of course, Brother Roy had a birthday last Saturday. He was 85. I'm still trying to figure out how he married a woman 10 years younger. But anyhow, you can do the math and see what you come up with on that. But congratulations to them. We appreciate their good example to each of us. I want to mention this regarding our kids sing. You know, some funny, these kids are funny sometimes, what they say and what they come up with. Now, little Mason Hatch is going back and learning some of his other cards, and he's just earned the trophy for the Bible Mothers, Mastery of Bible Mothers. And so, you know, when you're that young, you know, they can learn a few at a time and say them and then go learn some more. But they've started their Joshua card, and I was told that Mason was going over the Joshua card, and, you know, Joshua is the son of Nun. And they went through the first five and repeated it. Joshua is the son of, and he would say Nun. And they did it one more time. Joshua is the son of, and he just said zero. Now, you know, these kids are thinking, all right? They are thinking just a little bit. So anyhow, come back tonight at 5 o'clock, and we'll have our kids sing class. You have a real treat in store tonight as well. David Binkley is going to be our guest speaker tonight, talking about the recent work that they just got back from and doing a great job, he and Sister Galena. So I hope you'll come back tonight and hear the things that he has to say. And, of course, our lesson today is designed to tie in with his particular lesson and the work that he's doing. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6 and 7, we find a very interesting story that sets the stage for our lesson today. We find that during the days of Elisha, that there was the Syrians had besieged the city of Samaria. And because of this, there was a terrible famine in the land. It was so bad that a donkey's head was selling for 80 pieces of silver. A pint of dove manure was selling for 5 pieces of silver. The famine was so bad that mothers were eating their own children. Now that's truly desperation. And so these folks were in terrible shape. Now it's in this particular setting that we find 4 leprous men that were sitting at the entering in of the gate. And of course they were severely affected by this famine. And the Bible says they reasoned among themselves. Now they said, if we go back inside the city where the famine is, we're certainly going to starve to death. And if we sit here right where we are right now, we're also going to die. And they said, you know, let's just give ourselves up to the Syrians. And if they save us alive, we'll live. And if they decide to kill us, we're going to die. After all, we're going to die anyway. And the Bible says they rose up at twilight and they went to the camp of the Syrians. And when they got to the edge of the Syrian camp, behold, no man was there. And the text today tells us why that is the case in 2 Kings chapter 7, beginning in verse 6. If you want to follow along in your Bibles or on the screen, The Bible says, "For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians to hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, 'Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of Egypt to come upon us.' So they fled in the twilight. They abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives." Now, how many times have you been that frightened, that scared, that you would just drop everything you're doing right then and there and run for your life? They left everything. They thought they were going to die. The Bible says here, when the lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and they ate and they drank. And don't you know how good that tasted, that food and the drink that they had there? The Bible says they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. They came back and they entered into another tent and they carried off things from it and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This is a day of good news." The King James says, "This is a day of glad tidings. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." Now, folks, we need to understand that the people of God back in the city at this time, at this moment, were literally starving to death inside the besieged city. And yet these leprous men, though they were the outcast of the people there, though they had found all these things themselves, they said, "We need to go and tell God's people." And the Bible says they decided to go and to tell the good news. They decided to go and tell the good news at once. And they decided to go and tell the good news at once, lest they be punished. Now I wonder today, what would be the result if every one of us in the church of our Lord, if we would decide right now that we're going to go and tell the good news of Jesus Christ? Now, these people back in this day and time were literally starving to death inside the city. They were so concerned about feeding the physical body that a mother would kill her own child and eat the flesh of that child. And yet people today in our world are hungering for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm afraid many times we don't have the attitude that these lepers had. These lepers had the attitude, "Let's go and tell the king." And we need to realize that the only way that a starving world round about us can be fed spiritually is by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that can save them. Yes, this was a day of good news. It was just too much good news for these lepers to keep this news to themselves. The Syrians had literally left everything behind, and yet God's people were back in the besieged city, starving to death, and these men felt duty bound to share this good news with those who were children of God. I want to suggest today that we likewise have the obligation to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who are spiritually hungry. And this morning I want us to think about this lesson from four particular vantage points. First of all, I want us to see the challenge that you and I have today to share the good news. Secondly, I want us to observe the commission that requires us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, I want us to notice the compulsion that ought to motivate us to share the gospel with those who don't know it. And then I want to close this morning by observing the compensation that's going to be ours once we are involved in sharing the good news. First of all, this morning, let's now think about the challenge. The challenge we have before us to share the good news of Jesus Christ to those in our community, to those throughout the world who are lost in sin. Did you realize today that the world's population increases by about 132 million people every year? That just simply means that every single hour we have a net increase in our world of some 15,000 people. 55.5 million people die every year. 6,316 people die every hour. From the time that we start at 10 till you hope we conclude at 11, 6,316 people will have passed from this life. 105 people die every minute. Did you realize that the population increase in India is over 13 million every year? That's more than 1 million added to that population every month. And yet, the alarming and staggering facts are that those in the body of Christ, those in the church of our Lord today, make up about 2.5 million souls. Now, from the best available information that we have today, the church of our Lord is growing at about 100,000 per year. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. There are 10 times more people born in India in 1 month than we're able to baptize in 1 year. Or to put it in another way, there are 10 times more people born in India every month, or there are as many people born in India every month as we're able to baptize in 10 years. And then think about the fact that every 48 hours, 312,000 people in our world die. Every 2 days, 312,000 people die. That just simply means that every 48 hours, more people die than we're able to baptize in 3 years. Every 2 days, more people die in this world than we're able to baptize in 3 years. Now, we in the body of Christ need to understand and realize that something needs to be done. Something needs to be done drastically. Something needs to be done now. We need to understand today that we have a great challenge before us. And I'm afraid what we've done by and large is we just buried our heads beneath the sand and we failed to understand and realize the challenge we have before us. Now, these statistics that I gave you aren't just numbers. These represent the souls of people, people that are going to live forever in eternity. And I just wish that you and I could realize the challenge that we have before us to share the good news, the glad tidings of salvation. And we have that challenge today, whether we meet that challenge or not. Now, it may be that we may not be able to go across the world to something, to some place away from our country in which we live today, but we have a challenge right now to do what we can to teach our next door neighbor, to teach maybe our friend at school, to teach our co-workers, to teach them the gospel. If just one of them dies not having heard the good news, then we have not fulfilled our mission. But I want to suggest, though, in the next place, that not only do we have a challenge to tell the good news, we likewise have a commission that requires us to share the good news. I don't know what's happened to my PowerPoint, but we're going to go on anyway. The Bible says, and of course we heard it in our reading today, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, "Go and teach all nations." We are to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 that the church is to be the pillar and the ground for the truth. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 tells us the church is the pillar and the ground for the truth. And that just simply means that we are to be the supporting body of the truth. The church of our Lord today are to be that body of people that support the proclamation of the gospel. And unless we in the Lord's church today preach the gospel, there's no way it's ever going to be proclaimed to a lost and dying world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 16, Paul said, "Yea, and woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Now, folks, we need to realize, according to Paul, that it's either go or it's woe. We need to realize that if we don't go into all the world and preach the gospel, we're going to wind up being lost forever. We need to understand that we must reach out with the gospel, or else we're going to fade out as God's people. We need to understand that unless we as individuals have an outreach as members of the body of Christ, there's no other way to reach the people who are lost. And if we in this church, if we're not a mission-minded church, then we're going to become a mission field. May God help us to realize that we have a challenge and we have a commission to share the good news with those in our community and throughout the world. We have the responsibility to tell the truth of Jesus Christ to those that are lost. In the third place, though, and hopefully this will carry on like I want it to go, we need to also possess that compulsion. That compulsion that will motivate us to go and do what we know we ought to do. We need to be compelled to do what we can to share the good news of salvation with those that don't know it. Now, for us to have this compulsion, this motivating power, we're going to have to cultivate hearts within ourselves that really care about other people. Now, to be perfectly honest with you this morning, I'm afraid that you and me, we become so selfish, we become so self-centered, so wrapped up in ourselves and our own world with our own family and friends and our own circle of things that are going on, I'm afraid sometimes we don't care nearly as we should that the world is dying lost. We need to be people who really care about others. We need to have hearts that are filled with compassion and concern. May it never be said about us what was said about Judas in John 12 and verse 6, that he cared not. Judas didn't care about the poor. He didn't care about anybody else. He cared about himself. And I really believe that every Christian on this side of heaven needs to be concerned about every lost soul on this side of hell. Now, brethren, how can we show that we care for other people? Well, I'm convinced if we care about other people, we're going to find opportunities wherein we can help them. Now, if a young man is dating a young lady, he's going to seek every opportunity he can to be with her and spend time with her. The reason for that is because he cares. And all of us today need to care about and be concerned about those that are lost. And if we care, I think we're going to look out and we're going to see the lost and not the cost. Now, why is it that a parent would spend every dime that they had and every penny that they could borrow if one of their children was critically ill? The reason they would do that is because they care. And if we're concerned about the lost, we're going to do whatever we can, including spending our money to see their souls are saved. And I think if we genuinely care, we're not going to mind being inconvenienced. I know there's a lot of things that we feel like we have to do. There's areas of entertainment and other things. We have so many obligations in our lives. And sometimes we feel like, you know, you just don't have the right to inconvenience me and my time and my schedule in any way. So often I'm afraid we are not willing to be inconvenienced in order to try to share the gospel with other people. And I think if we care about the lost, I think we're going to pray on their behalf. We're going to pray that their hearts will be receptive and open to the gospel. We're going to pray for those opportunities to come our way to share the glad tidings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, what keeps us from caring, though? Why don't we care sometimes about the souls of people as we should? How come it doesn't bother us that every single day hundreds of people go into eternity unprepared to meet God? I wonder sometimes maybe if it's not because we become so preoccupied with things. And I also wonder maybe if it's not because we sometimes care more about people's feelings than we do about their souls. Now, I want you to be very honest with yourselves. Think with me for just a moment. Here you have in your mind the idea to go visit somebody, to talk to them about their salvation. Maybe they're an erring Christian. Maybe they've never obeyed the gospel. And you are concerned about them. Now, what are you more concerned about? Are you more concerned about saving their feelings or saving their souls? And I think this is a vital question we need to consider. It's a fact that sometimes a person's feelings are going to have to be ruffled just a little bit in order to get them to see the need and the urgency to do what they must do in order to be saved. You know, could it be that maybe we've gotten to the point that when the Bible says, "He that believeth not shall be condemned," that really doesn't bother us all that much? Or could it be perhaps that in this politically correct society today, that perhaps we deep down don't really believe that people are going to be lost without the gospel? We need to develop that compulsion to carry the gospel. And to do that, we need to have hearts that really care. And I think not only do we need to have hearts that care, I believe we need to have ears that are willing to hear the cries of others. Ears that are sensitive, that when people call out, they'll respond in the right way. Now, brethren, sometimes we're a little bit hard of hearing, aren't we? Now, I have been diagnosed, and you may know this, I've been diagnosed with what is commonly referred to as selective hearing. My wife diagnosed me with this shortly after we were married. And I don't know what the cure is for that. But sometimes we only hear what we want to hear. Now, oftentimes we hear people talk and yet we don't listen to the deep yearnings of the soul that these people have. Sometimes we'll hear somebody say out there, you know, I just don't know how to deal with this problem. I just don't know what to do. And we just let a golden opportunity pass by to help them and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. On the job, more often than we think, we encounter people in great mental anxiety for one reason or another, and yet our ears are not really attuned to hearing their cry. Acts 7 verse 57 describes those who have stopped their ears. Jesus describes those who are dull of hearing in Matthew 13 and verse 15. Acts 16 and verse 9, I think, encourages us to have our ears open to those Macedonian calls that come our way from time to time. And I think if we're going to have this compulsion, not only do we need hearts that care and ears that hear, we need to have eyes that are willing to see. We need to see the needs of those round about us. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look into the fields, for they're white already unto harvest." And yet sometimes I hear folks say, "Well, you know, I just can't think of anybody that I need to go see. I can't think of anybody that I might could talk to about their soul salvation." Brethren, what we need to do is open our eyes. We need to lift up our eyes. We need to make up our minds in the future to see people that are in need of the gospel. Let's not just see a coworker. Let's not just see a good friend at school. Let's not just see a neighbor across the street. Let's see people who are in need of the gospel. And let's look for opportunities to teach them. And I think if we're going to have this compulsion, not only do we need hands, I should say ears that are here, we need to be willing to have hands that will give. Someone has said, if we can't go across, we need to come across with our money. Philippians 4 and verse 16, Paul told those Philippians how that they had given to him again and again. They helped him time and again in the proclamation of the gospel. In Luke 6 and verse 38, the Bible says, "Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom." And we need to realize if we ever make it to heaven when this life is over, there's a very real possibility that there's going to be somebody there from Indonesia. There's going to be somebody there from China. There's going to be somebody there from the Ukraine that's going to say to us, "It's because of you and your generosity that I am here today with you." We need to have hands that are willing to give. Our main purpose for existence today is to save the souls in our community. And we need to resolve that we're not only going to be more evangelistic ourselves, but also throughout the world. The Bible says, "How can they preach except they be sent?" Then let me suggest as well that not only do we need to have hands that are willing to give, we need to have feet that are willing to go. How shall they preach except they be sent? Romans 10 and verse 15. Someone has said, "You may not be able to cross the ocean and the heathen land explore, but you can find a heathen closer. You can find one just next door. You may not be able to sing like angels. You may not be able to preach like Paul, but you can tell the love of Jesus, and you can say that he died for all. Now, this morning we've talked about the good news, the challenge that we have, the commission that requires us to share the good news, the compulsion that we need to feel within ourselves. But I want to close today quickly by talking about the compensation that will be ours when we go ahead and share the good news. And I think that compensation, first of all, is going to be joy unspeakable. In Psalms chapter 126 and verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And I think the compensation that we're going to receive as a result of sharing the good news is going to mean that God is not going to hold the blood of other people on our account. I love what Paul said, and I wish I could say it, but I know that I can't. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 26, I am pure from the blood of all men. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to say that? That I've done everything within my power to share the good news in every situation, in every opportunity that comes my way. I could not say that today. I wish I could, but I can't. I know that there's been those opportunities that I've kind of let slip away or go by, and I didn't take advantage of the opportunity that was given me. I don't want God to say to me on the day of judgment, you know, here is one that you didn't try to teach. Here's one that you didn't put forth the effort to try to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But perhaps the greatest compensation of all, when we share the good news, is that we're going to have a home with God forever in heaven. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Or I love Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 when he said, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. You see, that right there is our reward. God will bless us eternally if we share the good news. And I'm convinced today that there's no way under heaven that God is going to bless you and me with heaven unless we make an effort to share the glad tidings. Someone has said, thou must save another soul if thou wouldst save thine own. For heaven's gates are closed to him who comes alone. We need to realize today that we have a challenge. We have a commission that requires us to share the good tidings. We need to have that compulsion within us to share the good news, realizing the compensation that will be ours once we do. What about you today? Are you sharing the good news? Have you taken your responsibility seriously? We sing that song sometimes, if the souls all around you are living in sin, if the master has told you to bid them come in, if the sweet invitation they'd never have heard, oh, will you not tell them the cheer-bringing word? I hope today we will resolve to take the challenge we have much more seriously than we have in days past and gone. It may be today that you're not a Christian. You've never obeyed the gospel. We give you the opportunity to obey God's plan of salvation. Today, if you believe in God and in His Son Jesus with all of your heart that He is the Son of God, today you can repent of your sins and you can be baptized into Christ upon the confession of your faith in Him. Or if there are things today that stand between you and a right relationship with God, things that may need to be corrected in a public way. You can come this morning confessing those sins. You can repent of them. And we'll go to God on prayer on your behalf for your forgiveness. This morning, the invitation is yours. We ask that you come now while we stand and sing.